The four scriptures that we read today, there is four declarations made that have been the focus of one's meditations over the past few months. In Luke 1, we read, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus." Then it goes on to say, "He shall be great." And one of the other gospel writers, he says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." Heavenly declaration. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know, this afternoon we want to be focused on Jesus. We want to see Jesus, and we want to be focused on him. The second portion in Matthew 17. The Father declares his Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." The Father declares his Son. The third one, the Samaritan woman, what could she say? What a witness she had. She could go into the village and she could say, "Come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ?" And lastly, in Luke 24, when they came to the tomb, the heavenly messengers, the angels were there. And what could they say? "Why seek ye the living amongst the dead?" These wonderful words. "He is not here. He is risen." You know, these four declarations have charmed me over the past few weeks. He is not here. He is risen. And in each of these scriptures, we're going to look at the Lord Jesus. And we're going to look at him and be focused on him. But we're also going to look in each scripture about the servants. And in the way that the servants acted. The way that they reacted to the situations that they were in. And I trust that each one of us will be challenged and will be encouraged to go on in a Christian pathway here in this world. The first portion that we read in Luke chapter 1, heaven declares the Saviour. Here we have the scene. Wonderful scene. Wonderful story. The angel Gabriel was sent of God. Heavenly messenger sent of God. Then we read, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." You know, it's a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day is the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim his worthy name forever. You know, each one of us in this hall, I trust, know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. You know, if there's anyone in here who does not know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, you know, it's time you knew him. He's a wonderful Saviour. He loved us, he gave himself for us, and he died for us. And he wants to save you. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour in this room today, it's time you did. Jesus says, "He shall be great." He shall be great. We read in Philippians chapter 2 all about how he will be great. We read, "God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in earth and things in heaven. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. We read about the holy thing that was born, the Son of God. He shall be the Son of the Highest. We read of his throne. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He was going to rule on his throne. God's appointed man. All promises of God were in him. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob. Scripture tells us that he must reign till all things and all enemies are put under his feet, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. There shall be no end. He shall reign forever and forever. This man, this baby that was to be born, this one who was to come into this scene, the Son of God, God's holy Son, his precious Son, was to be born in this way. We read of the angel comes to Mary. She says to Mary, Thou art highly favored. Thou art favored of God. And you know, I like what Schofield has in his note at the side. Instead of highly favored, it's graciously accepted or much graced. You know, here we have Mary. Mary, the servant of God. The vessel that was to be used for God to bring his Son into this scene. You know, this leapt out the page at me when I read this a few weeks ago. Mary, the servant of God, the handmaid of God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, used to bring the Lord Jesus into this world. She was like us, graciously accepted. You know, it's by grace are you saved through faith. You know, each one of us are graciously accepted. Here we have Mary. She was troubled at this saying. She was troubled at the saying of what was going to happen. She couldn't understand what was going to happen. She couldn't understand the way she was going to be used of God here. But you know, the scripture tells us later, with God, nothing is impossible. With men, everything is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary, she was used of God. In the will of God, she was used to accomplish God's will. You know, we read that she totally belonged to God. We read in verse 38, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." You know, she gave her body was used in this service. Verse 46, it speaks of her soul. In verse 47, it speaks of her spirit. She was wholly used of God. She was wholly used of God. A servant. And you know, how are we used of God today? How are we used of him? Do we give our all for him? Are we prepared to give everything we have for him? Our lives, our all. Mary, she gave her all. Then we read that she magnified the Lord. You know, she not only gave her all, but she was full of praise and worship and adoration. She magnified the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. You know, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to be taken up with the Lord. A wonderful thing to be taken up and to be used of the Lord, but not only to be used, but to magnify him. To magnify him in our lives. To magnify him in the things that we do and the things that we say. You know, Mary was rejoicing in God, our Saviour. My soul doth magnify the Lord. You know, Mary, she was usable. She was of use to God here. And how are we? Are we usable for the Lord Jesus and for God's will? Are we usable? Are we ready to be used for Him? Quite a challenging thing. Have we got willing hearts? Willing to serve the Lord Jesus here in this world? The next portion we read was the Father declaring His Son. Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Peter, James, and John, they were taken up onto a high mountain apart. The Lord Jesus had already said, and we read verse 28, there'll be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming into His kingdom. Here we have this scene, Mount Transfiguration. Mount Hermon, it's supposed to be. And then we see the Lord Jesus taking these three disciples apart, taking them apart to the mountaintop. And we read that He was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And you know, we read the scene there. The Lord Jesus was there, and He talked with Moses and Elijah. And as they talked there, they were talking of His decease, His departure, His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. As they talked there in that scene, Peter, James, and John looked on, and they saw the glory of the Lord. They saw Him there, His face pure and white. And as Peter turned and he says, to Him, Lord, can we build three tabernacles? One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Thee. And then we read there was a bright cloud overshadowed them. Then we hear the voice of the Father. The Father declaring His Son. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is My beloved Son in whom I have all My delight. This is My beloved Son. Hear ye Him. And how the Father loves to declare His Son. You know, as we think of the Lord Jesus as He was here in this world, as we read Him doing the Father's will, we read of Him when He was only 12, when He was back speaking, when he was back speaking to those learned ones, what could He say? He could say, I must needs go about My Father's business. I am come to do the will of Him that sent Me and to finish His work. You know, He was there, Lord Jesus, to do the Father's will in this scene. He was there to accomplish the Father's will. And the Father could declare Him and say, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He was on His Father's business. Hear ye Him. You know, Peter here, he was always the one to step out. He was always the one. He was the one to step out of the boat to go towards the Lord Jesus. He was the one who stepped out to protect the Lord Jesus. At least he thought he would protect the Lord Jesus in the garden. He was always the one who was first to speak. And here Peter could say, he says, let's build a tabernacle, one for each. But you know, Father could say, this is My beloved Son. Hear be Him. You know, we should be occupied with the Lord. I think in this portion that we're being challenged to be occupied with the Lord Jesus. And we read as we go down further that Peter here, it says that when he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud which said, and the disciples heard it, and they fell on their face, and were sore afraid. You know, these disciples, they fell down, and they were afraid. And we read that the Lord Jesus came, and He touched them. The Lord Jesus touched them. You know, how many times does the Lord Jesus come in and touch us? We could be afraid of things. We could be afraid of things happening around us. We could be afraid of things in our life. And He says, be not afraid. You know, we were just reading this morning that there was, in my daily reading, that there's fear not is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. You know, that's one for every day of the year. Fear not. And these disciples, they were afraid. But the Lord Jesus, He came and He touched them. You know, I was thinking of other occasions when the disciples were afraid. The disciples, they were afraid in the ship. They were afraid when the winds and the waves were going to capsize the ship. And they were with the Lord Jesus, and you would almost think because of them being with the Lord Jesus so much that they wouldn't be afraid of things like this. That they would be able to trust in the Lord Jesus. You would think that they would be able to trust in Him, seeing that He always had things in control. But no, they were afraid. The frailty of human man, each and every one of us, that we may put our trust more in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were so afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. They saw no man save Jesus only. You know, I was thinking about when we come together to remember the Lord Jesus on the Lord's Day morning, when we come in the supper, and oftentimes we sing of gazing on the Saviour, looking on Him, a long fixed gaze on the Saviour, on the Lord Jesus. You know, these men saw no man save Jesus only. You know, each one of us, how we could fix our eyes on Jesus. How the verse of that hymn would say, oh, fix our earnest gaze so wholly, Lord, on Thee, that with Thy beauty occupied we elsewhere none may see. Oh, that we would fix our eyes on Jesus more and more each day. It says that they saw no man, and they came down from the mountain, and Jesus charged them, saying, tell this to no man. You know, these disciples, they were taken apart. They were taken up to that mountain. They were given a glimpse of the glory. They were given a glimpse of the kingdom. And then we read that they came down the mountain. They were told to tell no man. But when they came down to the mountain, they came down to that scene of failure and of distress. You know, there was distress down there. There was a man and his son. And the Lord Jesus had to cast out a demon when he came down. Then the disciples, they asked why they couldn't do that. And we read that it's because of your unbelief that you couldn't do it. And you know how many times we can be on that high mountain. How we can be on that high mountain in meditation before the Lord. And we come back out and we are almost taken down flat with distress and failure. And you know, oh, that we may fix our eyes on our Saviour. Oh, that we may fix our eyes on that blessed one who gave Himself for us. the one who died and rose again for us. Oh, that we may fix our eyes wholly, wholly on him. The next portion that we read was in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Here we have the woman of Samaria. The Lord Jesus, while he walked here in this scene, we read that he must needs go through Samaria. We read that he was hungry, he was thirsty, and he sat down by the well beside this woman. And the Lord Jesus said to the woman, "Give me to drink." And in the verses that follow, we see how the woman, how she slowly got to recognize who Jesus was. First of all, she says, "Thou art a Jew. Why do you ask me to drink? You are a Jew." Then we read further on that, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" as the Lord Jesus began declaring who he was to this woman. Then she goes on further and says, "Art thou a prophet?" And then the woman, she says, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things." And you know, at that point, she realized that he was the Christ. He was the Christ. And she was saved at this point. She had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She had met with this man who had told her all things that ever she did. She had met with this man who knew all about her, who knew all about her life, all about the things she did, all about the things that were hidden in her heart. And she had met with this man. And she was made to realize that this was the Christ. You know, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to this woman's need. He came to her need. And he was beside her. And he used the things of this earth. He used the water that was there. He used the water that was there and was so needful to her to bring out who he was. You know, this woman, she was so taken with the Lord Jesus. She was so taken by him that she had faith in him. She believed, and she left her water pot and she went into the city. She left all and she went into the city. And you know, she could say to those she met, she said to the men, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And you know, that was very commendable, this woman. This woman had very little spiritual knowledge. She knew nothing. She knew nothing of truth. She had very little spiritual grasp of things, but she went with zeal, and she went into the village, and she witnessed to those of the village, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did." You know, sometimes maybe we take a step back from witnessing because we're afraid that we don't know things. We don't know truth. We don't know. We're scared in case we're not able to answer the questions that are given us. This may be your concern, but this woman, she left all and she went and she told these men of the Lord Jesus. And you know, we read that many believed. She was again a servant who was used of God. Many believed on him because of the saying of this woman. Many believed. And then we read that these men and those in the village came out to meet the Lord Jesus. And many more believed because of his word. This woman was used tremendously in this city. She was used tremendously in the way that this whole city, many turned to the Lord Jesus and were saved. And she was used of God in a great way. What a witness that was to turn round to these men and say, "Come see a man." And you know, each one of us, How do we witness in our daily lives? Do we herald forth our Saviour in our daily lives? When people meet us at our work, when people meet us wherever we go on a daily basis, do we witness the Lord Jesus in this way? Are we usable for God? Very challenging things. This woman, a woman who wasn't even named in the scripture, was used in a remarkable way for these people. In the last scripture that we read in Luke chapter 24, the resurrection scene, heaven declares the risen one. These disciples and these women, they had just witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. They had just seen the one who was with them and living with them, the one who had walked with them in their lives, the one that they loved, the one that they loved so much, die on Calvary's cross. Then we read of Joseph there. He went and he asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Then we read that he took the body of Jesus and he wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre wherein never man before was laid. You know, this was Joseph's tomb, a tomb that had been prepared for the Lord Jesus. No man would have prepared a tomb so near a place where many people were crucified. No man would have prepared a place so far from his home. This was a tomb that was prepared for the Lord Jesus. And they took the body. He took the body and he put spices on it and he covered it in cloth. And you know, we read that the woman, it was the Passover, and the body had to be done quickly for the Passover. And when they put the body in the tomb and the stone was placed there at the door, and you know, you could imagine the talk that few days, the talk of what had happened. You could imagine the talk in the houses of the one who died, the Lord Jesus. They would talk of the death. They would talk of the life of the Lord Jesus here in this world. You know, the things that we talk about when somebody dies. We talk about their life. We talk about the things that they did. We talk about how it happened. You know, these people, they were devastated by the death of the Lord Jesus. You know, the Passover was passed. And we read the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came. These women were desperately wanting to go with their spices. They were desperately wanting to go to that sepulchre. And they were going to take the body of Jesus and prepare it. Prepare the burial, prepare the body. You know, another portion that tells us that it was dark. And these women rose early and they went there to the sepulchre. And as they went to the sepulchre, the thought would be of how they were going to get there, how they were going to get into the sepulchre, how they were going to roll that stone away, how they would persuade the soldiers to roll the stone away. But when they arrived there, they found the stone was rolled away from the sepulchre. You know, the stone was rolled away not to let the Lord Jesus out, but it was there to let the witnesses go in. And there the woman, when they arrived at the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. They were afraid. There was two men standing there. They were afraid, and we read again that they bowed down their faces to the ground. Here is the words that were said: "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Or why seek ye him that liveth among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." You know, these women, they were so concerned about the body. They were so concerned about this, the spices they had prepared. They were so concerned about the burial of Jesus. They were so concerned about this that they had forgotten what Jesus had said to them a few weeks and months earlier. What had he said to them? He had said, "The Son of Man must be delivered by wicked be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And he had not remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. The women, they weren't prepared for what they were going to see there. They weren't prepared for that stone being rolled away. They weren't prepared for going into that tomb and seeing just the clothes, the grave clothes. And you know, we read in another passage that Mary stood weeping there. She stood weeping. "Where have they taken my Lord?" she would say. "Where have they taken him?" You know, it's been quite a challenge, this bit portion here. Do we remember the words of the Lord Jesus? Do we remember him? Are we more concerned with the things that are around us? Are we more concerned with the things that are round about us in our daily lives than what we are to the words of the Lord Jesus? Are we more taken up with service? Are we more taken up with things in this world than we are with the Lord Jesus Christ? The women, they were occupied with these things. And then we read that they returned from the sepulchre and told these things unto the 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. How sad that the disciples, again, those who had been around the Lord Jesus so often, so many times they had been around him, They too had not taken fully what the Lord Jesus had said to them, that he was going to rise again. Oh, that we would listen to his words. Oh, that we would see him. Oh, that we would be occupied with him. Oh, that we would be taken up with him rather than the things that are around us. These women there, they heard the words, "He is not here, he is risen." Oh, I trust this afternoon that each one of us, that with them, these scriptures before us, these four things, the declarations that were made, that each one of us may be encouraged to go on for our Lord Jesus. Each one of us may be encouraged by our Saviour. Each one of us may be encouraged by him, that we may be usable and of service for him. And oh, that we would be able to hear his words to each and every one of us, that we may continue for him and go on for him in this world. Can we sing together? 174. O patience, spotless one, our hearts in meekness train to to bear thy yoke and learn of thee, that we may rest obtain. Jesus, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill.